Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Albert Taylor Bledsoe. Bledsoe was going to be Davis's defense attorney. When they read is Davis a traitor, and they read the brief, they went, there's no way. We'll never get a conviction. We're wasting our time. So they didn't bother. That's how. And don't anybody say, well, that's because the North were merciful. No, they weren't. You ever heard of Reconstruction, you idiot? Have you ever heard of generals being sent into towns like New Orleans? As a matter of fact, there's a monument down there, so they won't tear this one down. There's a monument down in the French Quarter somewhere where the headquarters were of the, I think it might have been Grant, as a matter of fact. I'm trying to remember who it was, of the Union general that came down to New Orleans to act as governor. In other words, to see to it that Southerners were doing what Northerners wanted them to do. This was a total act of suppression. You want to talk about an oppression. So the historical basis for this does not exist. And they know it doesn't exist. And the reason I bring the North up is because they were hostile. They wanted some more Southern blood. That's why they were called Radical Republicans. As a matter of fact, these men were of such horrid character that they passed a flimsy attempt to remain in political power in, hold on, I'll give it a year, just a second here. Mr. Church, how do you know all this stuff? I read. In 1870, they passed and then forced the states to ratify the 15th Amendment. How'd they do that? What's the 15th Amendment? And why? What is it for? The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. The Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. What were they trying to do? What they were trying to do was make it so that they could remain in power by saying that all persons, nope, they don't say sex, in all their, what's the word here, in all their merciful and peaceful and romantic love for all men and women being created equal, no mention of chicks here, is there? They were basically trying to give Negroes at the time, that's what they would have been called, black people a right to vote. And in granting them, which would not happen, it required a real amendment with real T, under the theory that they would vote for Republicans so that Republicans could stay in power. In other words, the 15th Amendment is only in the Constitution so that a political majority can be maintained. That's how deceitful and power mad and power hungry those same radical Republicans were. So don't tell me that they didn't prosecute Lee and they didn't prosecute Davis and the rest of them because they had a soft spot in their heart for their new Southern buddies. That's just simply not the case. One, they knew they would lose. That's one. And two, they didn't want to be embarrassed and they didn't want to be kicked out of power. So anyways, Travis, thank you for the phone call. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. I'd love to hear from the rest of you on this. We can spend the rest of the day on this subject. Heck, I could spend a week on this subject. Bledsoe, ever since the Declaration of Independence, there have been two great political parties in the United States. The one regarding the American people as one nation. And by the by, that's the one that wins, that's in power today. That's why we're America, not the United States. What an S. And one that thinks that we should practice republicanism. While the other, attaching itself to the reserve rights of the states, has zealously resisted this tendency to consolidation in the central power. Even under the old Articles of Confederation or before the new Constitution was formed, these political opinions and parties existed. For, however strange it may seem, there were those who, even under those articles, considered the states as districts of people composing one political society, or the American people as forming one nation. Nay, in the Great Convention of 1787, by which the Constitution was formed, it was boldly asserted by a leading member, quote, that we never were independent states, were not such now, and never could be, even on the principles of the Confederation. The states and the advocates of them were intoxicated with their with the idea of their sovereignty. This is from James Madison's papers. Now, if any aberration of the mind or the influence of political passions could seem strange to the student of history, it would be truly wonderful that such an assertion could have been put forth under the Articles of Confederation, which expressly declared that each state, that's quote, each state, close quote, of the Union formed by them, quote, retains its sovereignty, freedom, and independence, close quote. The author of that assertion did not interpret, he flatly contradicted, the fundamental law of the government under which he lived. As a matter of fact, there's another book. I announced earlier today that if you become a Founders Pass member, here's another reason why. You can download my historical revival project, John Taylor of Caroline County's argument respecting the constitutionality of the carriage tax. It's the greatest argument ever made, and there's no equal to it. No one's even attempted to define Congress's limited right to tax, and it's very limited, specifically limited. So, folks, this is totally out of print. As a matter of fact, if you go to Amazon and buy a copy, you can't even read it, because theirs is a photocopy of one of the surviving copies of the document, and most of the ink is worn off of that, what they photocopied, so you can't even read it. Believe me, I know, because I republished it, so I had to, painstakingly, we had to, using digital technologies and transcripts of the argument, which were given in front of the Supreme Court, by the way. John Taylor Caroline County's argument was delivered in front of the Supreme Court. And then when that Taylor made his argument in the Supreme Court, and the court ruled against him, and they appealed, or they the primary argument was made before a tribunal representing the SCOTUS. When they didn't rule him against him, they said that we need to continue the I can't remember what the legal term is, but ultimately the case was argued by none other than Alexander Hamilton. Hamilton argued for America, and Edmund Pendleton argued for the states.